The scripture passage that we just heard was the one chosen by the preacher at the closing worship service for the Chisholm annual gathering that I recently attended earlier this month in Denver. He began his sermon by saying something like, "Well, that text practically preaches itself, right? What a message of hope." With a big smile, he continued, "Only a fool could mess up a sermon on that passage." And there were some appreciative chuckles and smiles from the congregation. He then went on to say, "Well, unfortunately for you, they invited a fool to preach this afternoon." And we all suddenly wondered what was coming next, because he was clearly not a fool. The Reverend Dr. Miguel de la Torre, the preacher that afternoon, is an ordained minister and is a professor of social ethics and Latinx studies at the Iliff School of Theology in Denver. He's the author and or editor of over 40 books and has taught and lectured not only across the United States, but around the world. He has served as the president of the Society of Christian Ethics and as the executive officer for the Society of Race, Ethnicity, and Religion. And in 2020 and in 2021, respectively, Dr. De La Torre received the Excellence in Teaching Award and the Martin E. Marty Public Understanding of Religion Award, which I had never heard of before, but are the two most prestigious awards presented by the American Academy of Religion. It's a big deal. He is, in fact, the first person ever to receive both of those awards. And he began his sermon that day in Denver by saying, "They invited a fool to preach to you this afternoon." So I say all of that to say you may think that I would have chosen a different passage to preach on this morning, given that that sermon is still very fresh in my mind. In fact, it's still ringing in my ears. It was a powerful sermon. And I am quite confident that my treatment of this passage will in no way measure up to the sermon I heard that afternoon. But I was influenced by Dr. De La Torre's foolishness. And so here I am, my own kind of fool, believing that there are things that I can offer for our shared reflection, things that are worth considering together. So here we go. Actually, before we go much further, I'm going to read the passage again. And as I read it, because it's such a familiar one, I invite you to pay attention to what you experience as you listen to this text. Listen for just a word or a phrase that strikes you this morning, an image maybe that sticks with you, a feeling that arises within you. And as you pay attention to those things, I invite you to write something down. Find a sticky note, use your bulletin, write it on your hand if you want. Just a word or two words or a phrase, something that this passage generates within you. And then I am going to ask you what you heard, what you felt, what you sensed, what you saw. And I'm hoping that there will actually be one or two or a few of you that will just share that word, that phrase. No right answers, no wrong answers, nothing I'm looking for in particular. I just want to create a space where we can engage with the text, the sacred text, in these moments and in this place as we are here together. So I invite you to listen again for a word, for a feeling, for an image that strikes you in this passage. "The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, 'Mortal, can these bones live?' I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you and you shall live. And I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. So think for just a moment. What did you hear? A word, a phrase. What did you feel? What did you see? Yes to all of that. Thank you. Thank you for your courage. That's a courageous thing to share. A word, a phrase, something that spoke to you. So thank you. I think maybe we would all tend to agree that it's a vision of hope, right? A vision of new life, a call to trust God, to trust God's power in what seems like an extremely unlikely situation of hope. And I think that we want so badly to claim that hope, to experience that new life, to get to that place of trusting God and trusting God's power, don't we? With all that's going on in our own lives, in the lives of our country, the life of our country, in the world around us, I think we desperately want to believe Ezekiel's vision. We want God to open the graves and restore life. We want the dead bones to rise up with new breath. We're ready for spring, right? We're ready for the snow to be done. The hope that this vision offers is beautiful and powerful. And as people of faith, I think I can say we want to live within it. As people of faith, we should be able to live in it, right? So how do we get there? We might want to know. What do we have to do? How do we move toward that kind of hope? Let's figure it out and let's do it. Let's claim that hope and grab it and live within it. Let's expect that the sinews and the skin will cover the dry bones and breath will fill the dead bodies. God has promised it. So how do we make it happen? How do we move on to that hope? It is not, of course, as we all know, that easy. But that's what we want. That's our inclination. Enough with the despair and hopelessness. Let's get through it, get over it, get past it. And as quickly as possible, let's move on to hope. But I wonder if our rush to get to hope, which may be a particularly American thing, but not exclusively, I don't think. But I wonder if our rush to hope is part of what keeps us from truly experiencing it. I wonder if our understanding, and I will dare to say our misguided understanding, that as people of faith, we can and even should move quickly from despair to hope is in fact part of what keeps our genuine experience of God's radical hope just out of reach. I wonder if sometimes we try too hard to get to that place of hope too quickly. If sometimes we move toward that place of hope in a rush so that we don't have to dwell too long in that valley full of bones. That valley, as Ezekiel said, of very many bones that are very dry. Why would we want to stay there? Those bones represent death and despair and pain and suffering and hopelessness. Who would want to stay in that place? Who would want to see, really see those things? And not just see them, but stop and sit with them. The hand of the Lord came upon me, Ezekiel said, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. There were so many bones in his vision, a valley full of bones, so many bones representing so much death and pain and hopelessness. And the bones were very dry, representing such a long time that they had been there. It takes a long time for bones to become dry. Why would we dwell on that? Why would we stay in that place when we can move right on to the bones rattling and coming together and coming to life? Why would we stay there? Because it's important. It's critical, in fact. Before new life can truly begin, the reality and the weight and the pain of death needs to be acknowledged. In order to truly experience God's radical hope, the depth and truth of hopelessness and despair needs to be recognized. Before deep and true healing can occur, healing that will lead to authentic hope and transformed living, not just a superficial optimism or an artificial feeling that, oh, everything is going to be fine, but true, deep, God-given hope, we have to spend time, like Ezekiel did, among the bones. We, both as individuals and as a society, have to allow ourselves to be led around and among the very dry bones. We have to let ourselves sit with the reality of death and despair. Creating space to see the pain and suffering in our own lives, in the lives of our loved ones, and in the lives of strangers, near and far, with our eyes and our hearts wide open. Because when we can truly see suffering, whether it's our own or of the world around us, with honesty and humility and compassion, it allows us to acknowledge our shared humanity. When we are willing to see and sit with despair, whether it's our own or the world's, it allows us to acknowledge that we all hurt. We all experience pain. When we have the courage to allow the Spirit of God to lead us around the valley of dry bones, and once there to take in the depth and breadth of suffering and death that those bones represent, we're opening our eyes and our hearts to the reality of the human condition, the reality that's shared by all people in all times, in all places. And in doing that, we're opening our spirits to the depth of our need, to the universality of our need for healing and hope and new life that only God can truly give. So yes, Ezekiel's vision of the valley of dry bones is a vision of hope, profound, transformative hope. But I don't believe we'll experience it fully if we try to get there too quickly. I think we have to spend time among the bones. Crazy though it seems, it is in walking through the valley of the shadow of death with eyes and hearts wide open that we can truly be healed and brought into God's transforming hope and experience the breath of new life. That's the story of our faith. May it be so. Amen.